In the book of Exodus, in chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, unto Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. Moreover, I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be the token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, hath appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, hath met with us, And now let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I know that the king of Egypt will not give you leave to go, not by a mighty hand. And I will put forth my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. In this very well-known passage, very well-known story, I want just in the literally the few minutes we have left to us this morning to underline this verse 14. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The thought that the Lord has given to me, which has been with me the last day so livingly, is all contained in this one little phrase. I am hath sent you. You know, when I was first saved, I used to think that this was the most awful title that God had. I suppose I was rather irreverent, having, as you know, really never read my Bible until I was beginning of my teens. And knowing nothing about Christian things, I used to think this name was the most terrible name. I am so proud, seems to me so arrogant. I am. And I used to think somehow or other, I don't know, what does it mean? Why didn't God say the God of power? Or the King of glory? Or the King of glory and of grace? Or the Lord of infinite love and infinite mercy? Why I am? Now there's no doubt about it that this encounter with Moses by God was the thing that utterly changed the course of history, not only for Moses, not only for the Jewish people, the people of God, but for the whole world. When you think of all that comes out of this appearance of God to Moses, it's absolutely tremendous. Why did he say it? Why did he say it? Why did God say, if they ask you who it is, say, I am. That's my name. I am. I suppose in one sense, there's nothing really that I could say this morning that would be new or fresh. That's why I read the whole passage. Because I think it's best for the word of God to speak for itself. But I would like to underline 3 very simple things about this wonderful commission. And the first is this. This name, I am, speaks of fulfillment. Fulfillment. I am hath sent you. Think of Moses' circumstances. 40 years a shepherd in some forsaken spot of the desert. It's called the backside of the desert. The most forsaken spot. He'd settled down after, I suppose, 20 years. To just being in the backside of the desert for the rest of his days, serving God, loving God, being faithful to God, knowing God in his own experience, in his family life. The people of God were slaves. They hardly received anything in return for their work. They were the sort of cheap slave labor by which the cities of Egypt were being built, the pyramids, many other things, the great works that were going on in Egypt. This was the great fund of cheap slave labor. It didn't matter if thousands died in the building program. It didn't matter. A Hebrew life didn't mean anything to the Egyptian or to Pharaoh. And suddenly God says, Moses, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use you to take out my people from Egypt. Now, if Moses had just been a Hebrew himself and brought up in Hebrew circumstances, he may have been fired, his imagination may have been fired, but unfortunately he'd been brought up in one way in Pharaoh's house. He knew very well the other side of the story. He knew that this was the most impossible thing that could ever happen. How could God get a people out of Egypt? How could he wrench them out from that economy when they were necessary to the economy, when they were an integral part of its building program? How could God take this people and get them out? Moses, why, 40 years before, he would have said, of course, Lord, I'm the man. I'm the man. I've not only got Hebrew blood, my great-grandfather was not only Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but I mean, I'm just the person for it. I've been brought up in Pharaoh's house. I'm almost royal. And as you know, he rolled up his shirt sleeves and sort of slew one of the Egyptians when they were taking it out on one of those Hebrew slaves. He would have been, I'm just the man for it. But now, Moses is a different man. He's a broken man. His resources have been drained. He knows his own barrenness. He knows that apart from God, he can do nothing. In one sense, he's settled down to being a shepherd in this forsaken spot of the desert. And then God says to him, tell them, I am hath sent you. And that speaks of fulfillment. Of course Moses couldn't get a nation out of Egypt. Of course Moses, by his own energy or personality, couldn't wrench a people out. He couldn't persuade Pharaoh. But I am will do it. And I am did it. And that's just the point. We, of course, have got the wisdom of hindsight. We know that the whole nation went out, not a hoof nor a horn was left behind. They went out, they not only went out, but they spoiled the Egyptians as they went out. The people came out of their houses and said, here, take this ring with you, take off these, take everything, go. Get out as quickly as you can. Could you have thought it? When Moses stood there watching that vast concourse moving forward, loaded with silver dishes, gold things, jewelry, necklaces. Can you see some of those Hebrew women loading it around and say, look what I've got. See, look. I mean, they were only human. Don't you think that Moses said, I am's done it. I am's not only got us out, he's got us out with glory. We're more than conquerors. They came to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's hosts were coming up behind them. They stood in front of something that was impossible. But it was I am who did it. He stood in the midst, as it were, and blew on the Red Sea, and the thing divided into two. And they went over as on dry ground. And when Pharaoh's crack forces, his sort of panzer division, his sort of elite, when they went in afterwards, the sea closed in on them. Who did it? I am. As I am. Oh, wherever we look in history, I think now, when I think of this name of God, it is the most precious name that God ever gave to us. It is the very revelation of his person, of his character, of his heart. I am, that is my name to all generations. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, you are sons and daughter of Abraham by faith. And so it is this morning that you've come into this name of God unto all generations, even to this generation. I am. When we look at the things God did in history, it was I am who did it. You know, when God's people had sinned and were deported
into every part of the Babylonian Empire, the policy of the Babylonian government was to assimilate. Assimilation. Scatter the people. Deport them from their own countries. Scatter them all over and deport other peoples into those folks' country. And in doing this, we break up tribalism, nationalism. And we create a unified empire. God had said to his prophets that they shall come back. Why? There were many scriptures that he had given about Messiah coming to that land, about him appearing in the house of God, about Bethlehem Ephrata, which was little amongst the thousands of Judah, out of that coming forth the one who would be ruler of my people Israel. But there was no Bethlehem Ephrata. There was no Jerusalem. There were no cities of Israel. They were all destroyed. The people were had been deported. Do you know what I am did? In one night, he overturned the Babylonian Empire so tremendous that it was one of the greatest forces in ancient history and brought in the Persian Empire. In one night he did it. You know the great story of how Daniel said, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." That very night it happened. But this is the interesting thing. The Persian Empire, the government that took over, had an altogether different policy. Its policy was home rule. I am did it. So the king said to his Jewish subjects, go back to your country and I'll give you support. You'll be subsidized. I'll even help you build your city and your temple. I am did it. There could have been no reformation if it hadn't been for I am. There were strong political forces that swept through Europe at that time, which I am created, in order to bring about the reformation. Oh, I think of so many things. Fulfillment. I am. This name speaks of fulfillment. God is perfectly well able to fulfill his purpose. I think of Tyndale, William Tyndale, as he was dying, burnt at the stake because he produced a version of the New Testament in English. Right, said the church, we'll stamp the man out and we'll destroy his versions. But they had reckoned without I am. When Tyndale was dying in the fire, the last words he uttered were, "Oh God, open the eyes of the King of England." Within a year, that king had decreed that in every parish church in Britain, there should be a copy of the Bible in English for the people to read. I am did it. How do you explain? Oh, we could go on and we could go on with story after story of those who couldn't have done it themselves. But the I am, he did it. Fulfillment. Now, my dear child of God, we are also facing many situations. Maybe you're facing situations in your own life. Conform to the image of his son. You think it'll never be with me. I am. In spite of you, I am. Fulfillment. I will build my church upon this rock. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is it possible with the forces against us? Yes, I am will do it. We are told in Revelation and chapter 10 and verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he is about to sound, then is finished the mystery of God according to the good tidings which he declared to his servants, the prophets. In other words, the mystery is going to be completed. I am is going to do it. We read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the omnipotent, reigneth. Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad and let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I am's going to do it. Are we not facing situations, circumstances as dark as any in history? When you think of the wickedness that is abroad in our nation, when you think of the dedicated minority out to destroy the kind of standards that have been produced by the gospel, when you realize the economic forces that are let loose in our nation, driving us willy-nilly into the common market, when you realize some of the other great pressures that are being brought to bear upon government and people, who can do it? We can't. Why, the devil's only got to blow on us and we'll all be scattered, we'll be divided. We're such a silly lot of sheep. I mustn't digress, but a few months ago I watched the Dublin Spring Show at 1 hour in the afternoon that we had free, and I never thought sheep were quite so silly. It was amazing. If they all just kept together, if the first one moved that way, the whole lot went that way, and then if it turned back, the whole lot went back, and we're just like that. If we're not fighting with one another, then we're all going the wrong way with one another. We are such silly people. But God is perfectly able to deal with that. There can still be Ananias and Sapphira's. There are still situations where God deals drastically with those that oppose the work of God. God is able. I am. And if God has said that a certain thing is his objective and he's going to reach it, he's going to do it. Well, there you are. Really, our time's gone. I will just give you the other two little thoughts from I Am. I Am not only speaks to me of fulfillment, it speaks to me of provision. It was Dr. Campbell Morgan many years ago who made that great discovery in the Gospel according to John that the Lord Jesus, he felt, used these two wonderful words, I am, in an altogether new way. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am means provision. As if God is saying, Moses, I'm not going to name anything. Just remember, I am. You need humility. I am humility. You need strength. I am strength. You need grace. I am grace. You need sustenance. I am sustenance. You need power. I am power. You need authority. I am authority. I am hath sent you. Whatever you need in your service, whatever you need in the fulfilling of my will, I will be it. I will not only fulfill it, but I will provide for you all that you need. So whatever it is, fill it in. It was Johnny Cochran who some years ago, you will remember, said to us, it's like a blank check. God has given us a blank check. I am. Fill it in. Fill it in. What is it you need? As Moses went forward to those people, it was, he knew, with the God of all provision. And that's why Moses was always falling flat on his face. I've probably said this before here, I've certainly said it many other places, that when I first read about Moses and Aaron falling flat on their faces, I thought it was the most extraordinary thing that I'd ever read. I couldn't understand, because in many cases they were falling flat on their faces over things they knew all about. After all, he'd written down the law. So why fall flat on your face and say, Lord, what shall we do? Why not just go to the book and say, well, it says this, this, and this, we do that. It's quite clear. But you see, it was because he knew God as I am. He couldn't just take the book and batter it into B He couldn't just take the book as so many regulations and say, now we're going to enact these or enforce these. He said, Lord, what shall we do? And then God himself explained the book to him, how it's to be applied in this situation or that situation or that situation. It was I am. I am hath sent you. Do you need something this morning? How often? We know this in our heads, but so rarely in our experience. We go to God and say, I need humility. Oh, God, help me. I do need to be humble. But if only you could realize that the Lord is saying to you, you've misunderstood. I am humility. I am humility. Oh, help me to love so-and-so. And the Lord says, you've just misunderstood. I quite understand the cry of your heart. But don't you see, I am love. God is love. I am. I feel so dead, Lord, facing this bit of service for thee. I feel absolutely dead, left to myself. I shall sink in unbelief and say it's impossible. I am the life. So we can go on. Lastly, I am means union. That's the heart of the whole matter. You see, it was I am that spoke to Moses out of a thorn bush. This was the whole cause of Moses turning aside to see a worthless, insignificant thorn bush burned with fire, but it wasn't consumed. It went on burning and burning and burning. Now, as Moses came near, God spoke to him out of the bush. And when God said to him, say, my name is I am that I am, it was out of the bush. And when he said, you shall say, I am hath sent me unto you, it was out of the bush that God said those words. In other words, what God was saying to Moses, Moses, you're just like this bush. You're just like the old dried up thorn bush. You've lived your life and it's finished. You're 80 years of age. 40 years I've spent draining your natural resources, till now you're just a dried up old stick. You haven't even got it in you now to go to Egypt and say, now I'll lead them. No, you're quibbling. You're dried up. Your own resources are drained. Your own energies are paralyzed. Your own personality has been broken open. You're just like the bush. But Moses, I am. I'm in you. I'm the fire in the bush. And I'll burn, and I'll burn, and I'll burn. Everlasting fuel for everlasting flame. Are you that? Am I that? Everlasting fuel for everlasting flame. Glory. Glory of God in a bush. Union. Oh, I don't want just to know God up there. I want to know the God who has no beginning and no ending. God who is infinite. God who is incomparable. God in whom everything exists. I want to know him in me. Living in me through Christ by the Spirit. Say, I am, hath sent me unto you. Shall we pray? Lord, what a wonderful thing it would be if every one of us here were just dried up thorn bushes in which the very fire of thy presence was found. So that people turned aside not to see something transient, a flash as it were, of a moment, but something, Lord, which continues through thick and thin, through sunshine and storm, day and night. O God, we know it is thy desire to do that in us, to be the glory in us, to be the power in us, to be the life in us, to be the fullness in us, to be everything that we need. Oh, Father, teach us by thy Spirit how to enter in, that we may know in a new way this name of thine, which thou hast said shall be thy name unto all generations, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Be our God, we pray. We face, Lord, thou knowest, situations in our nation, in our town, in our families, in our own lives, Lord, that only thou canst bring us out of and through. But, O Father, we thank thee, thou hast said, say, I am, hath sent you. O God, help us, we pray, through our Lord Jesus Christ.